You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, to pluck the low-hanging fruit of the literati, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
All right, the low-hanging fruit of the literati.
I don't think this Val Frankel, author of 5 million books, counts as low-hanging
Absolutely
fruit.
Not. She's one of our favorites, and despite the fact that she is the woman behind the women...
Oh, well, she's the woman in front of the women, too.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously. It worked out so well with Snooki, you're now a mob wife.
I am. I'm a mob wife, and I hang out in Staten Island.
Val Frankel is the author. Her latest ghost gig, is it even a ghost?
It is.
Val wrote Big Ange's book.
You're out, baby. You're so out.
I'm at Linda Stasi in the New York Post. My name is the last two words in the entire book. Like the last line of the acknowledgement page at the very back. And Linda Stasi of the Post said, there's no way Big Ange wrote this. And then she's like, and I had to get to the very last line of the book to say, oh, it was Val Frankel.
Well, of course it was.
She outed you, so we could...
She did out me in the Post, so... Well,
we're going to talk about Big Ange, we're going to talk about the Mafia, we're going to talk about the Jersey Shore, we're going to talk about banned books. Can we start with banned books?
Yes, yeah. And it's not B-A-N-D books. It's books that are forbidden.
That's right, banned. B-A-N-N-E-D, as in banned and censored, and this week is going to be my fifth annual banned book party. It's happening.
Congrats.
Jack, sound effect.
Yeah, a little quicker. Come with the applause on. Button, Jack, please.
Thank you. Okay, kittens. What are you going to do for kittens? Quick, kittens. There's kittens.
This week will be the fifth annual banned book party. Practice. It's happening at the 92nd Street Y Tribeca this Friday, which is the 28th. It's a 9 o'clock start. And of course, Judy, you're going to be a big part of it.
I'm going to be part of it.
I can't wait.
Indeed.
Reading from your awesome new-ish book, the official book of sex, drugs, and rock and roll lists, which is as smart and filthy as it gets.
Great toilet reading.
It is great toilet reading.
Yeah. I
third that emotion. And I just got off the phone with Joe McGinty from the Losers Lounge, who's going to be sitting in on keyboards with us Friday night. I'm really thrilled. We've got an all-star band with Bob Burt from formerly of Sonic Youth and Pussy Galore and D-Pop on drums. Of the Bush Tetras and the Gun Club, to name but two. And
are you going to play the theremin again?
I'm going to whip out that theremin. I'm going to do some damage. And we've got great guests, Judy McGuire. Mike Albo is going to join us.
Oh,
the great Kevin Mayer.
Mike Albo. Oh my God!
Right? I love him too.
And he's a sexy man.
And our big surprise, Val, this year we're having mono mommy porn.
Oh,
it will be Lady Chatterley's Lover versus 50 Shades of Grey. And I have a very special S&M soccer mom.
Oh,
that's Reeboks and a dog collar. to be representing that 50 Shades of Nonsense book.
Ah, okay.
Which I'm shocked to have found out that my mother has read in also. Ew. It's the...
What do you think? I mean, as a former pornographer, what do you think about...
Baby, once a pornographer, always a pornographer. It's like...
It's like being a Marine.
Or an alcoholic.
Yeah. I'm a...
Have you read 50 Shades?
I have, because I thought to make fun of it properly, I should read it, because...
Yes, be informed.
Because I'm a journalist, and I'm responsible like that, and I'm here to tell you that it sucks. It's really irresponsibly bad. It's written in the fucking present tense. Pornography written in the present tense is just like, no. And maybe tell you what, after the break, I actually have on my iPad. Maybe we'll do a little dramatic reading of it.
Oh, exciting.
Okay. No, it's really awful. It's hardly sexy.
Val, did you read it?
I read it and I found the sex scenes to be, you know, identical to each other, except for the very sexy removal of the tampon scene. Where she has her period and he's like, I'm going to pull out your tampon. And she That's says, so baby, do it.
So Prince Charles.
Ew.
It's so I Dead know. Boy circa 1978.
Oh, but I mean, you know, your mom's obviously got her rocks off on it.
Well, I tell you, you know, my mom's the one that introduced me to the cocaine penis. A story I do love to share. Well, you know, back
Sarah Lee, are you listening?
Oh, man. Well, yesterday, Judy said, you know, your mom's the one person who could talk Mark Zuckerberg into putting a dislike button on Facebook.
Well, we got to get this woman on the show.
Oh, we should.
She's been on the show, and afterwards she called me and she says, Judy sounds nice. Well, I'll tell you, we're also celebrating this week my new book, my novella, Bye Bye Miss American Pie.
Great cover.
Applause button, Jack. Yes. Thank you. Thank you much. It's a political satire and very kind of naughty. It's a sex farce. And my mom sort of called. I've been telling her about it for, I don't know how long, you know, goes into writing a book and publishing it and whatnot. She's heard, and sort of yesterday she said,
thank you.
What's this Bye Bye Miss American Pie thing?
So you're self-published?
Yes, on Interstellar Roadhouse, which is my private multimedia imprint.
Nice.
Yes, self-published. And it's available as an ebook, $2.99, cheap, on Amazon and Smashwords and Barnes & Noble and wherever ebooks are sold. Mm-hmm. But also, I went old school with this, and I have 300 signed and numbered print editions. Handbound. Looks like an overstuffed Passover Haggadah, mm-hmm. kind of, right?
The cover is gorgeous.
Thank you. But yeah. They're signed and numbered, and you can find them on my website, mikeedison.com, and I'll be glad to send anybody a copy of it. $15.
And if you're a listener, you get a special surprise with yours.
Absolutely. For Mike and Judy listeners, I'll put a surprise in there. Something nice. Oh, something God. Nice.
Something sticky.
Ooh. Oh, no. Why do you have to go there? But
a DNA sample.
Well, Mom told me she will not be reading it because we don't agree politically.
Oh, dear.
She just whipped that out real fast.
Oh, boy.
You know,
shame on her.
It's
well, I'm assuming.
Well, she didn't read my last two books either.
She did not read them.
No, she won't read them.
Yeah, my mother won't read my books either. She just feels like she doesn't want to be a punching bag.
There's a lot of tongue clicking. Does your mom
deserve?
Does your mom? Does she do that? Which I assume is the way Jewish mothers communicate. Sort of like some African clicking language.
I don't know. She just refuses to read them, and I think it's for the best.
But, you know, like I said, my mom, she is the one that turned me onto the cocaine penis. It was an Arthur Haley novel. I think it was Arthur Haley.
Well, your moms don't read your books for very different reasons. Like, right. Val's mom isn't going to be offended by the sex.
Well, my last novel, I did have some sex scenes. But to me, but they were just, you know, your basic vanilla sex scenes. Married couple sex scenes are not going to be that exciting.
Well, my mother's reading, like light S&M or whatever the hell. You want to qualify this 50 Shades of Nonsense is. But back to the cocaine penis, because I just love saying cocaine penis. There's one somewhere in her head. There's a cocaine penis. It was, I think it was the, you know, Arthur Haley. He's like, you know, the Jacqueline Suzanne or Harold Robbins, one of these writers that mm-hmm. was writing these big, sexy, modern bodice ripper mockers of Wall Street.
Them. I loved them. I read them all.
And there was a scene. Not I just one. Found the book laying around on the kitchen table, stuff that she was returning to the library, and I opened it up because I was, you know, just whatever, I read whatever is laying around. And I opened it up, and there's some scene. It was like some Wall Street douchebag, you know, fucking his Asian whore on the round bed. But first he puts the cocaine on his penis before he, like, you know, stuffs it up her ass. So okay? And I was like, oh, fuck.
They did a lot of anal sex back in the 70s with those popular novels.
I'm trying to remember.
Harold Robbins had
a while. Harold Robbins,
He loved anal sex, Harold Robbins.
He was
constantly.
But,
he was.
But, you know, at least he was smart enough to put the cocaine on the penis first.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I'll tell you what, and then when I grew up to become a pornographer, every book I wrote, there was a scene with someone putting cocaine on their dick. It was like my tag.
Oh my God.
Okay, have you done this in real life? That's what we need to know.
No! I'm not stupid. Cocaine goes in the nose.
I've never had it. I know, what's her face? Stevie Nicks.
Oh, well, she had the dwarf with the paper straw.
Yeah, she had somebody blow it up her butt because her nose was so destroyed.
Oh my God. Well, they say the anus and the nose.
Most mucous membrane.
They're connected somehow.
So it's the anus and the nose. They go first.
So Val, tell us about writing with Big Ange. Was she as adorable as she seems on the television program?
Adorable.
Well, I know that your man is in love with her.
He is deeply in love with her.
You know what? She's very sweet. I wouldn't say that she is on the road to Mensa, but she is a very sweet person.
What's that kitty noise?
Yeah, another saucer of milk, Val?
Unlike Snooki.
Who is a genius in comparison.
She beat me a three-dimensional chess just the other day.
Oh, really?
I mean, because people look different in real life as they than they do on television. Is Big Ange more or less the woman she
You know what?
Appears?
She really does look like a big transvestite on TV, but in real life, she is more feminine looking.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are times when she just looks kind of cute.
Right.
Not just gigantic, exaggerated, huge lips and huge tits. But there is that. I mean, I saw her in a bronze monokini.
Wow.
And yeah, wow. And I was supposed to be interviewing her. And I'm like looking at the computer, looking at her, quickly looking back at the computer. I could not like focus on the words. Don't look at the
our
boobs.
Our friend Michael Malice, I saw him the other night. We were talking about the Big Ange episode where the drag queens sort of give her a makeover. And
yeah,
it's kind of like
a drag queen makeover.
Like, she should go for the Jane Makeunder.
Well, it's like the drag queens are men pretending to be women, and she'd be a woman pretending to be a man pretending to be a woman.
Which
like, I'm so confused.
I know why.
So what does Spiro, what does your boyfriend see in Big Ange?
Well, the big part,
the boobs,
the boobs. Plus, he's from Bay Ridge. I mean, he's born in Greece, but he's from Bay Ridge. He likes like a tough, brassy broad with big hair, big boobs, big ass.
Yeah, she's got it all. And I have to, and a big family too. And I just do want to say that her family, you know, I did so many interviews with her and her family. Like I did like 30 interviews for the book with her friends and family, and they were fantastic. Truly, it made me long for a big, close family, which I don't really have. They were all just constantly coming in and out of each other's houses and eating and drinking.
Did she make dinner for you? I've seen very little of the show, but what I did see is her spending $500 making like spaghetti sauce for her son just get out of jail party. You know, when she went to see the butcher, you know, and basically put like 9 cows, you know, some pork and some veal.
Yeah, she likes pig skin, pig knuckles. Yeah, she cooked for me a few times.
Oh, that's awesome.
Every time I went to to interview her, she's constantly forcing food on you. And she would serve me a plate of food, like stuffed artichokes and the sauce, the gravy, they say, they don't say sauce.
Right.
And then I'd be interviewing her and typing, and then she would say, you know, why aren't you eating? What's wrong with, that's a Jewish accent, I can't do an Italian, why aren't you eating? What's wrong with the food?
Oh, but in her voice, because every time she opens her mouth, it sounds like someone stepped
on
a duck.
Why aren't you eating? What's wrong with the food? And I'd be like, I can't eat and type at the same time. And she's like, well, why don't you just eat for a minute, and then I would miss, like, the best thing. And I have to put the food. But yeah, she's an amazing cook. Everyone in her family cooks, and all they do is eat. I mean, you know, they're at breakfast, they're thinking about lunch. At lunch, they're thinking about dinner. At dinner, they're thinking about the next day and the snacks and the shopping. It's this Italian food.
It's amazing they have any time to make a reality TV show.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Have you been in touch with your friend Snooki since now there's Snooki Plus One?
Yes, Snooki and I are in touch often for reasons that I cannot discuss.
Oh my God, Snooki's baby guide.
Oh, is her baby going to write a book?
Mothering
the baby,
book.
The baby has
it's
to write
be
a book.
Awesome.
Oh, I can't wait.
That actually is a really good idea.
Of course it is. Babies for spray tan. How young is too young to pierce.
Hey, speaking of spray tan, did you guys see that story of Mitt Romney, you know, is down doing that Univision show, right?
Browning
all,
it
right,
up.
And he looks like a fucking Oompa Loompa. He's got so much aura. I mean, is that for realsies, or do we think that's some liberal conspiracy?
Well, it might just be foundation.
I mean, he looked like an Oompa Loompa. I mean, seriously, he looked like an orange lollipop.
He was born in Mexico, remember? No, he was. He wasn't. He was.
His father was born in Mexico.
Right, because his grandfather had the multiple wives, and it's illegal in America.
I cannot wait for that story to break, okay? You know,
That the reason his family was in Mexico was for tax purposes and for the multiple wives.
I haven't seen the multiple wives story.
Oh, totally. It's out. I mean, that's why they weren't living in America.
And who's Ann Romney sharing her bed with?
She loves women. Didn't you hear her at the convention? I love women.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So this is a good segue. Let me tell you guys about my new book.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, it's a sex farce. And that's really, you know, what this is about, is about how much sex can America handle by Miss American Pie. And you'll like this, Judy, because it's got a feminist angle to it, because it's about a female senator who slightly resembles our current Secretary of State, former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, who was here just the other day.
Yes, I can't believe that.
Oh. I can't believe
it. Right? Bill and Hillary were here having pizza at Roberta's the other night.
Yes.
Anyway, amazing. She gets caught fucking her cabana boy, the hot pool boy. And, you know, we've seen so many sex scandals, but how often is a woman who gets busted, stepping out on her husband, and she's asked to go on television to apologize and save her flagging campaign, and instead of apologizing, she gets on TV and she says, "I got mine, America. Now get yours, because you know you want it." And she rekindles a new sexual campaign. Everybody gets laid in America, and she becomes the most popular person in the world for a moment. And the campaign becomes hypersexualized, and her conservative opponent has to keep up until they're making porn movies as in lieu of campaign ads.
I don't know. I think the time has arrived for this kind of book.
I think so.
The world is ready for that.
I hope so. But the fucked up thing is, I'm watching it on TV, and aside from all the sex, just the hypocrisy, the absurdity, the nonsense, the doublespeak, and the lies, and just the cartoonish aspect of it all, I wrote like it was basically a documentary, as opposed to this absurdist sex farce.
I think
it
sounds
Voltairean,
like,
storybook.
It sounds like who's the great satirist?
Well,
Christopher,
like John Swift or Chris Buckley.
Chris Buckley, because he did a book about a Supreme Court female Supreme Court justice that was sort of, she was sexy and America couldn't handle it. So this is great.
America's not ready for sexy females in power. I don't think, I think we're still kind of retrograde and retarded that way, unfortunately.
Yeah, probably the demise of Sarah Palin was partially motivated by
that. She set feminism, boy, that awful dirty word. I mean, she just set it back like hundreds of years.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
I don't think so either. I think that she was a woman out front, and it kind of doesn't matter what's coming out of her mouth.
Well, I think she reinforced a very negative stereotype of, like, the pretty but ditzy.
But she was taken seriously by some,
and some still take her seriously. Yeah. Sadly,
I think that's waning too. Though,
listen, if we had only female voices arguing these things back and forth, that'd be great. Even if if there was a Hillary Clinton and the Sarah Palin, and that's all the voices we heard, that's okay.
Well, Hillary is like super duper smart. I mean, Hillary's great.
Hillary should be president.
I think she'd be a great president. I was very in favor of the whole Secretary of State thing. This Libya thing is a fucking mess, though. They really screwed the pooch with this whole Libya thing. But on that happy note,
what are we going to hear, Mike?
I think we're going to hear some groovy music from our friends at the Dap King record label. This is the Mike and Judy Show with our friend Val Frankel. Let's take a break.
Jack, thank you. I love kitties. There's an adoption event at Muddy Paws Pet Store on Graham Avenue and Richardson Street today. I think it goes till 5 o'clock, so you can get yourself a little cat friend. Val, do you need another cat?
I have four. I think I've got as many as I can handle.
I'm so impressed by your litter box situation still. Is it still working?
We have two self-flushing litter boxes that flush into the toilet.
I'll tell you what, the first candidate that figures out how I can write my cat off as a dependent, that's the guy I'm voting for. Actually, Romney probably has it figured out already. I thought it probably involved sending my cat Jeepster to the Cayman Islands or something.
Wouldn't it be sad if it turned out Romney was a cat lover?
He's not. Well, he put his dog on the roof.
He's not an animal lover, exactly. Yeah. So he put his cat on the roof.
He put his dog on the roof.
The cat's in the trunk.
There was a cartoon in the New Yorker this week, and basically the caption is, how come no one's talking about cats? I miss socks.
I do too. I miss socks. Another reason to love the Clintons. They were cat people.
See, that could have been your job writing that book, Val, writing Socks book.
Oh, yeah. That was before I started doing ghostwriting, though. But that would have been a good
have
one.
Have you written have you ghosted for an animal yet?
I have not.
Snooki, hello.
Oh, sorry. Meow. Jack, hit the meow button. I'd like to.
Oh, people are blogging about their food out in front of us.
Yeah, Bill.
It does look gorgeous, but I would have eaten it by now.
I think this is an awkward gay date. Actually,
this is the awkward date table in front of the studios at Roberta.
We get a lot of internet dates sitting out in front of our window.
I like watching them peek at themselves. That's funny. How's my look?
No, I look fat. Delete. I might have done that once.
I'm actually thinking I want to write the book for the cat I recently lost, Manly, the world's strongest cat. Mm. I think it's there. I think he has enough stories.
Could be a kid to nice do a kids book. Book.
I think so. I think it could be nice.
I think any there are so many books with cats in the title, mystery novels and cozies and all that. So Steve, my husband, and I want to do a spy novel called The Cat Who Ate Too Much. I'm telling you, bestseller.
Take off,
bestseller.
The cat who came in from the cold.
Yes. the cat who ate too much.
Gold
story
kitten.
Of all of my children, my cats.
Yeah, you have both children and cats.
I do. So many living creatures under my and plus fish now. They got into fish.
So many people. So many. Plants. So many living things dependent on you.
I know.
Does it ever get overwhelming?
Yes.
Okay.
We need a cat here at the Heritage Radio Studio, don't you think?
It's a little small.
So tell us about your e-publishing, your self-publishing experiment here.
Well, I had the idea for Bye Bye Miss American Pie actually 4 years ago, over 4 years ago, before the last election, which is probably why the protagonist has some resemblance to Hillary Clinton. But there was really no way to do what's basically like a 90-page novel. It's written kind of in a storybook form. It gets kind of dirty fast, but it's really, it's a short parody. And, my agent says, Mike, you're not famous for writing, satire, and no one wants a 90-page book, and this is going to be impossible to get done. Well, that didn't exist 4 years ago.
Right.
So the technology is sort of caught up, and I think it's great. It's cheap. It's $2.99. It's a blast. And, of course, I'm in control of it, and it's my own imprint and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I think the stigma of self-publishing has gone away a little bit. I hope it has, anyway. I mean, certainly.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, I've got a few books out, so it's not like, I've got no other recourse.
I know plenty of authors who have, done traditional publishing for decades and just decided to start doing self-publishing.
Like our other high school classmate, Barry Eisler, has been very successful.
Joni Rogers, who's another ghostwriter. She does her ghostwriting, and then she does her self-publishing, and she's happy with it.
Well, I think it's great. I think this is where the world's going. I love ink on paper. I love old books. But I'll tell you what. Last time BEA, the Book Expo, was in town, I went around. I was like walking around the fucking La Brea tar pits. I mean, it was just like dinosaurs dying in front of me. Mm. I thought I was going to be, razzled and dazzled with people showing off what they can do with an iPad, and it wasn't. It was just the same old stuff, and people, my vibe was people just sort of watching out for their jobs and being defensive about the industry. I guess next year maybe it'll be the year it all comes out, but everybody seems to be taking sort of this wait-and-see attitude to see what the next guy's going to do or someone else to develop technology and not really willing to take the risk themselves. And I think that's, they're on the road to extinction with that attitude.
Well, everyone is just clinging to the way things were, always. And we'll see. I've been doing some more poking around with ebook originals, dollar books, dollar novels, genre books. And so far, I have to say that the quality is significantly lower than traditional publishing.
There's no question about it.
No question about it. And so you just said, do I want to read 10 shitty novels or one great novel?
Well, I mean, I really tried to go the distance with this. Aside from trying to write a great book, I had it looked at by scrupulous editors. I had a group of readers. I went the distance with the design.
Right. If only there could be some middle ground between traditional publishing, which is going to be tight, versus, you know, most self-published authors, which are putting out crap, and then the sort of professional self-publishing, a middle ground.
Right. Well, I think, you know, if you do it, people know, oh, look, Val Frankel, we loved her books in the past. We know she's a professional. They know they're going to get something that's quality. You're not just going to, you know, write something on the back of a paper plate and throw it up on the internet. That's not, hopefully, you know, that's not the way it's going to happen. When it gets, when it hits air, it's going to have been, you know, handled in a professional, scrupulous manner.
The marketing aspect of it and the distribution.
Well, you know, there's that thing. The same thing as with music on the internet, too. You know, I can make a record on my, you know, iBook and pop it up on to iTunes and whatever else. And technically, I guess I have the same distribution now as Prince.
Right, right.
But yeah, but in publishing, it's like the...
It's so important to get attention, review attention. Yeah. There was a woman who did a Kindle original, and she bought a review on Kirkus, which you can do, apparently, for $50 or
really?
Something.
Really?
And then... she just got the ball rolling that way, like buying reviews, buying customer reviews.
It is hard, you know. I'm obviously trying to use social media, and I'm all over the Facebook and Twitter, Mr. Mike Edison, at Mr. Mike Edison, if anybody wants to read my wise-ass comments and shameless self-promotion. It is hard. And then someone says, oh, we don't review ebooks. I'm like, well, what the fuck's that all about? I mean, is what I wrote less legitimate because it's not on paper?
It's just that it hasn't been through, you know, the gates.
You know,
do you know what I mean?
But I thought it was a weird thing to say. That's our policy, and didn't give any you know, attention. Like, oh, it's Mike. You know, he's written two well-received books, and he, you know, and blah blah blah. And we've covered his books before, and our audience, you know, likes him, and he's been receptive, and we've, you know, this is, we're talking about like a website that I've actually guest blogged on. And they're like, oh no, Mike, we don't do.
And it's a website,
right? Right.
That's really funny,
right? Which, you know, so
what about marketing through porn sites?
MrSkin.com, our good friends, they were the first ones to get on this and put up the trailer I made.
Oh, great.
You know, I mean, you guys, you don't know my stuff. I always make a video, and there's like a performance element to it. And like I said, I went really old school, and I think this is sort of like the City Lights model. You know, I mean, I tried to make it feel like, you know, like Howl, you know, or something.
Yeah,
the way
yeah,
it's like printed.
And,
you know, and like a lot of hands-on, you know, love and craft went into silk screening these things because it's not just, I didn't just type it and like flip it onto the internet. You know, this is my art. It's important. And I think it's funny, and I think it's high quality, and I hope people dig it.
Read it. It's funny.
Bye bye, Miss American Pie.
But Val, didn't you put out your early books on ebook?
I did. This is a trend now for people whose books are out of print. I mean, these are books I wrote in the 90s, mystery novels that went out of print years ago, you know, 20 years ago. And now we had them digitized or digitalized or whatever it is. And now they're ebook original. Well, they're not ebook originals, but ebooks available. And I'm making more money selling these 20-year-old mystery novels digitally than I ever did traditionally.
That's great.
Well, I'm selling more copies. I'm not making more money.
Well,
people are willing to buy something for $3 that they didn't buy for, you know, $10.
Well, I think the Kindle's great. I mean, why not? If people are reading my stuff, awesome.
Right.
You know, and the good news is my old porn novels are going to be coming out as ebooks.
Oh, good.
And I just sort of, I was actually going to bring them out this fall. I decided to wait till after Bye Bye Miss American Pie, spend whatever publicity cash and capital I have. But His Black Boyfriend, my interracial wrestling masterpiece, is going to be out in time for Christmas. I think
Merry
that's
Christmas.
that's worth probably $1.99, maybe 99 cents,
well,
as well,
know,
as Mandy Shame and Busting Susan's Cherry.
Great. Well, you know, the pricing is so important. So you're doing $2.99, which guarantees you 70% of royalties.
Right. It's right. There's, you know, the formula.
Yeah. So and if you price it under $2.99, then Amazon gets like 50%
a bigger cut. But I mean, I think, you know, in terms of Bye Bye Miss American Pie, it's, you know, it's got some literary component to it. It's a little bit more than, you know, some porn book that, you know, I wrote, you know, 20 years
and
ago.
Maybe those you put out for a dollar.
Sure.
For a period of time.
Yeah.
And then raise the price.
You know, and I think the stuff is great. I think His Black Boyfriend is sort of my masterpiece.
Your signature?
It really is. It really does. It's very tender, you know? It's, you know, it's really the story. It's a, well,
okay,
it's a thinly based.
All right, all right.
It's the Kiara Skirl of black on white love. It's really, it's all about the white man's spunk on a black man's body.
Oh,
that is beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Does it make it any better if I tell you that the characters are based on Hulk Hogan and Mr. T in the first WrestleMania?
No. Hulk Hogan, wow.
Val, before we leave, what do you have coming up next?
Well, I have a paperback edition of It's Hard Not to Hate You, memoir. And I have a novel out called Four of a Kind, and the Big Ange book is out right now. It's called Bigger is Better. Everyone, please, if you're a Big Ange fan, check it out. It's pretty good. She's funny. And then I have a few projects in the works that some I can and some I can't talk about.
Like the Snooki parenting book. And you, people can find you at ValerieFrankel.com, right?
Right, yes.
You are so fucking prolific. I mean, you've been out
Don't
for a long...
Don't say that.
No, because it says that's a sausage maker to me.
Yeah, no. No, I don't think so. Your stuff's great. I mean, the fact that, look, Elvis Costello puts out a lot of records,
yeah.
You know, and
you know, people write at the speed that they can do it. You know, that's it.
And you're a professional.
You know, I mean, people say that I'm prolific.
But the ghostwriting things,
so,
you know,
so
I mean, the Big Ange book start to finish took 6 weeks.
Wow.
Like from
wow,
when I got the job really to good. When it was to the press.
See, that's awesome.
Printer.
But that's because you're a professional.
It was just one of those, oh, she looks like she's going to be a star. Let's get a book out right away.
Writing fast doesn't mean writing poorly.
No.
You know?
No.
Absolutely. When I used to write the porn books, they say, we don't mind good writing as long as it doesn't slow you down.
On that note.
Yeah.
Once again, the fastest 30 minutes on the internet today. It's the Mike and Judy Show on Heritage Radio here at Roberta's in Bushwick. Thanks to Val Frankel.
Thank you, guys.
And Jack Inslee, engineer to the stars. And see you guys next week at the Band Book Party, September 28th at 92nd Street Y, Tribeca, starring Judy McGuire and a host of others.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.